This is the year that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us rejoice and be glad in this year. The enemy will want you to start this year off thinking, oh boy, another year. Oh, here we go again. Come on. How many? You don't need to raise your hand, but I'm sure many people in the room have started the new year off already that way, thinking, okay, Monday's coming around and we got to go back to school and everything's kicking in and the vacation's over. And here it is, just another year that we got to just make it through. Oh God, just help me make it through this year. I'd say this is the year the Lord has made. God is sovereign and there is a 2014 right now. We've entered it, okay? 2014. And we're alive today, right now, this year. Not to just trudge through the year. Not to just make it. Not to just, oh God, just help me, pull me along. No, we're alive to glorify God. We are alive to enjoy Him, and we're going to talk about that this morning. We're alive on purpose and for a purpose right now. And that should excite us. That should excite us. Yes, life can be hard. Yes, things can come at us. Yes, we live in a broken world and it gets messy. Yes, but God is on the throne and He is God and we are His children. Happy New Year. I just kind of synthesized the whole message right there, actually. Woo! Well, hey, this week we are returning to our journey through the book of 1 Corinthians. How many of you have enjoyed that? It's been several months. 1 Corinthians, incredible book. It's the Bible, okay? It's the Word of God, and it is so alive, and it is so transforming in our lives. It's been rocking my world in such a good way, and I've enjoyed it. You know, we left off, it was a month ago that we left off from our study through 1 Corinthians as we went into some talks about the birth of Jesus and about Him coming and becoming a man and celebrating Christmas. And then Matt brought a great word last week about the streams of living water and life and bringing life. But we're back into 1 Corinthians. We left off last time with the truth of the Apostle Paul reminding us, the church, that we can tackle temptation. That word that Austin brought this morning is just another reminder of that. That we have all we need in Christ Jesus. His grace is enough. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. Sin is not greater than grace. Grace is greater. We have the grace of Jesus Christ. It's bigger, it's stronger, and it can take down, bring down the boom on temptation. We have all we need to tackle temptation, 1 Corinthians 10:13. That's where we left off. This morning, we're going to begin the new year with the Lord reminding us that whatever we do, whatever we do, the words we speak, the actions we take, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, whatever we do this year and every day and every moment for the rest of our lives, that we're called to do it in a way to glorify God. We're in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. The Apostle Paul has just instructed the church as we've been going through this book about proper eating, proper drinking, and now he opens it wide up. He takes it to a whole nother level. And he says, now whatever, meaning in all things, at all times, whatever you do, 1 Corinthians 10:31, the second half, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, this is an incredible verse for a new year sermon. Is it not? I wish I could say, well, no, I'm glad I can't even say this. I'm thankful that I can't say that I'm so smart and I've organized things so well that I timed it just perfectly to have this verse today for the new year. I'm not that good. I didn't do it. But God is that good, and He did it. And He brought this verse for us right now when I was putting this together the past couple weeks. I'm just like, oh God, this is so great. This is so great. What a great way to start the new year with the Lord saying, whatever you do this year, do it all for the glory of God. Live for the glory of God. People are always wondering, why am I alive? Why am I alive? Why was I born? Why am I here on earth? Read this passage of Scripture. Anytime you have that question, read this passage of Scripture. Why are you alive? You are here to glorify God. This is it right here. 1 Corinthians 10:31. You are here to glorify God. And I want to add to that and to enjoy Him forever. In fact, the Westminster Confession of 1646 states that the chief end of man, the whole purpose of man, why man is here, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We make it so much harder than that, don't we? Don't we? Oh, well, I got to do this and I got to do this. Well, what if I did this and I got to come up with all these strategies and plans and programs to make sure that my life matters and that I'm accomplishing all this and all that. And we miss the forest through the trees. That our chief end, our whole purpose of existing is to glorify God and to enjoy Him. Enjoy Him. Some of you may be already like thinking, I don't get that whole enjoy Him part. Oh, you got to start walking in that this year. You were created to glorify Him and enjoy Him. I want you to look at, you can quickly look at Isaiah 43:7, where it declares that we were created for God's glory. You can look at Psalm 29, which is essentially a sentinel's call saying that our whole purpose of living is to ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. In fact, if you look at Psalm 29 verse 2, that's what it says, ascribe, which is a nice way of saying, a fancy way of saying, give it all. Lay at the feet of, give it all. Everything you have, ascribe, give it to the Lord. The glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. And then when you look over at Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, it says, I have set, this is David. How many of you know that David kind of understood God? Okay, a man after God's own heart. Right? He knew God. And I just love the life of David. I love studying the life of David. I love studying the songs that David would sing and the statements that he would make about God. And I say, oh God, help me be more like this man who loves You this much. And he says in Psalm 16, verses 8 and 9, he says, I've set the Lord always before me. I've set the Lord always before me. In other words, he's saying, I'm always looking to glorify God. It's always about Him. I'm waking up in the morning looking for God. I'm going out to battle looking for God, looking for Him, looking to glorify Him, looking to know Him more, looking to exalt Him and lift Him up. Yeah, I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So he's always set the Lord before him. He knows that because God is before him and with him, that, hey, he doesn't have to worry about anything. And then he says this in verse 9, therefore, because of this reality, because of the reality that I'm glorifying God, that He's number one, that He's always before me, always on my mind, always on my heart, therefore, my heart is glad, happy, and my whole being rejoices. He's glorifying God, and therefore He's enjoying Him. My flesh also dwells secure, he says. Look, in all things, King David sought to glorify God, and as a result, he enjoyed Him. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, find your whole purpose, the whole meaning of your life, find it in God. Delight yourself in the Lord. Not in all the other junk the world tries to tell you that you need to delight yourself in. No, no, no. Delight yourself in the Lord. And He will give you the desires of your heart. You see how this works? You see God's way? Glorify God and you'll enjoy Him. Lift up the Lord and He'll lift you up. Go after God and you'll never be disappointed. Give your life to Him and you're going to find an incredible life that you're living. Why are we alive? Why are you alive today in 2014? Why? to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. The first Sunday of the year. Do you want to know why you're here? To glorify God and enjoy Him. You know, many fall into that trap that a lost world sets for people. They fall into that trap of, man, there's so many things that you got to look at in your life. There's so many things that can make you happy. There are so many things that can give you purpose and cause you to have meaning in your life. You know, if you put together a really good set of New Year's resolutions, I mean, you go Google it and you find out, man, what are the successful people, you know, resolving to do this year? Well, I'm going to focus on my health, and I'm going to focus on my wealth, and I'm going to focus on this, and I'm going to focus on that, and this, and that, and that. And if you put the right things on your resolution list that you're going to focus on, and that you're going to give all your attention to this year, and then if you just pull yourself up from your bootstraps, man, and you really grit your teeth hard, and all year long you just through the year, and you can accomplish some of those things, and then you're going to have real purpose and meaning in your life, and you're going to be happy. Right, sure. How many of you can say, yeah, that's true, that really works, yeah. Probably no hands going up, no hands going up. It's a lie, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. The focus is all wrong. The focus is all wrong. I want to read something from C.S. Lewis. He had this to say. He looks at it this way. He said, what Satan put into the heads of our remote ancestors was the idea that they could be like gods, could set up on their own as if they had created themselves. They could be their own masters, invent some sort of happiness for themselves outside of God, apart from God. And out of that hopeless attempt has come nearly all that we call human history. Money, poverty, ambition, war, prostitution, classes, empires, slavery. The long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God to make him happy. The reason why it can never succeed is this. God made us. We got to remember that. Sometimes you just got to go back to the very beginning. God made us. Okay? God made us. Invented us as a man made the engine. You see, a car is made to run on gasoline and it would not run properly on anything else. Now, God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. That is why it is just no good asking God to make us happy in our own way without bothering about religion. See, God cannot give us a happiness apart from himself because it is not there. There is no such thing. There isn't. Yet mankind continues to try to find happiness all over the place, continues to invest their lives in all kinds of things, hoping for happiness, hoping to find meaning, hoping to be something and to make their lives something. And so they chase after all of these other things, leaving God out of the equation. Or maybe just asking God to help them with all of the things they're chasing after that they've put on their own list. You see, we were created by God to glorify Him and to enjoy Him. It's really that simple. It really is. We're really good at complicating things, aren't we? We're so good at complicating things. We get our lists out. You know, I got my iPad here and I got all my notes. I got about 400 notes in here with all kinds of things. You need to do this. What about this? Ideas that pop into my head and all these things. I've got my calendar. I've got like four different calendars all synced up through iCloud and all this kind of stuff telling me what to do, how I can do this. Emails flying in and flying out, and there's so many books to read, so many things to do. Oh my, oh my. And we get distracted and we forget why we're here. Why we're alive right now. I mean, at this moment, right now, we're alive to glorify the one who created us, to glorify God and to enjoy Him. I've spent a lot of time this week in prayer. I've spent a lot of time in the prayer room this week. And I've spent some time watching some ball games on television. Right in that room right there is where I found most of my enjoyment this year. Almost all of it. Right there in that room. Yeah, I've been some great plays on television. Great, amazing things. I mean, that flip, you know, by Bryce Petty going in the end zone was really cool and all that. But when you feel the touch of the Lord, when you hear His voice and He starts giving you words about what He has planned for you this year, oh my goodness. Nothing else compares to that. It just doesn't compare to that. We were created to glorify God and to enjoy Him, to spend time with Him, to find all of our meaning and all of our purpose in Him and in Him alone. Watching a great ball game, saying you were there. Oh, I watched that when that happened. You know what? In eternity, it doesn't matter, and it really hasn't changed your heart. It was just exciting. I'm stepping on toes right now and stepping all over my own toes this morning too. So just know that, okay? I'm stepping all over my own toes. God's been stepping all over my toes all week long. And you know what? It feels good. Because if you can't let God step on your toes, then man, you got big problems. You better let God step on your toes. It's this simple. Your purpose this year, what you should have on your calendars this year, what you should have on the forefront of your mind and bursting forth from your hearts this year is, I get to glorify God. I want to glorify God. I'm going to glorify God, and I'm going to enjoy Him. But Pastor, what if life is hard this year? What if bad things happen this year? Then what am I supposed to do? Well, our circumstances are always going to try to dictate our purpose. The circumstances of life that the world is going to throw at you are always going to try to dictate who you are and how you spend your time and what you do with your life. Your circumstances are always going to do that. But we don't have to live ruled by our circumstances, ruled by what a broken world is throwing at us, because we know who we are. We know whose we are. And we can respond by glorifying God and enjoying Him. We just celebrated Christmas, the birth of Christ. When Jesus entered human history, as a man, He put on flesh, which still always blows my mind every time I say it that way, that God Himself came down from heaven and put on flesh and became a man and entered into this broken world that hated Him, that was sinning against Him. That blows my mind. When He did this, He came to rescue us, to save us, to rescue us. But He also demonstrated to all mankind, in doing this and in living it out, He demonstrated to all of us how to glorify God as He lived a life that was all about glorifying His Heavenly Father. Jesus is our example of how to live a life that truly glorifies God at all times and in all ways. And Jesus even showed us how to glorify God when times are hard, when things are hard. Jesus glorified His Heavenly Father in His death. On the cross. You want to talk about having a hard day. You want to talk about some bad stuff coming all over you. Just look at Jesus and the cross. How did Jesus respond? Did He allow those circumstances to dictate what He was going to do or not do? Did He decide, well, God, Father, you're going to understand these circumstances are kind of outside the box a little bit, and so I'm going to kind of respond a little differently. No, no. Not my will, but yours be done, Father. I will glorify you in all things and at all times And if our faith is about glorifying God only when things are good, only when we're healthy, only when we're wealthy, only when we're winning, then what happens when we lose, like Baylor did on the first of this year? What happens when we lose? We can find ourselves consumed by self-pity when things go wrong in our lives, when hard times come. And in doing this, frankly, just being real here, and in falling into places of self-pity, what are we really doing? We're heaping insults and judgment on God. Just being real. When we start falling into self-pity, we're heaping insults and judgment on God. We're questioning His sovereignty and His goodness. When we start acting that way, we start focusing again on ourselves. We start looking inwardly at ourselves. And that's just not a good place to go. I love Matt Redman's song, Blessed Be Your Name. Some people don't like singing this song because it's just too real. Blessed be your name. I'm going to read the words to this song. Blessed be your name in the land that's plentiful. We all like singing that part. Woo! Whoop, whoop. Yeah, yeah. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Amen. Everyone says amen to that. And then he goes into the next part of that verse, and he says, blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place. Though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Oh, blessed be your name. And we should bless his name when the blessings and the favor and the goodness and things really appear and feel easy. We should bless the name of God. We should glorify him, and we should understand it's all from him and he's good. But how about this? Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be your name. And then this part, I was actually on a worship team for several years that wouldn't sing this bridge part of the song. You give and take away. You give and take away. But my heart will choose to say, no matter what, no matter the condition of my situation or my circumstances, my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name, God. I will glorify you at all times because that's why I was created. My circumstances don't dictate who I am and how I live my life. My circumstances, whether I'm healthy, whether my back feels good that day or not, that doesn't dictate whether or not I'm going to glorify God today. How much money I have doesn't dictate whether or not I'm going to glorify God. I was created to glorify God. And you know what? The circumstances of my life, when things are broken and things are hurting, are not going to distract me from enjoying God either. I'm going to delight in Him no matter what's going on in my life. By God's grace, because I'm His child. Now, I can't do that out of my own strength. But when things are bad, I press into God. And when I press into God and I spend time in His presence and I'm on my face before Him, you know what? He shows up. And when God shows up, boom, I'm enjoying Him. When things are great and everything's going wonderful and it's beautiful, 75 degrees sunny outside, and my life feels that same way in every aspect, I'm getting with God and I'm thanking Him and I'm enjoying Him and spending time with Him. The circumstances of life want to distract us and pull us away from our meaning and our purpose and from our enjoyment of God. We don't have to let that happen. I want to us to quickly look at four ways to glorify God this year. Don't worry, that wasn't just my intro. We're moving right along here, okay? Four ways that we can glorify God this year. Number one, glorify God with your mouth. It says in Psalm 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now, what that is saying is everything that's breathing. I want everyone in this room that's not breathing to raise their hand. If you're not breathing, now don't hold your breath. That doesn't count. Everyone that's alive in this room, keep your hands down. Everyone else, raise your hand. Okay, great. No hands up. Let everything, everyone that has breath, that's alive, glorify God. Praise the Lord. We were created for this. He gave us breath so that we could use it. He gave us a mouth. He gave us this ability to open our mouths and make a noise. Why? So that we could glorify Him with that. Not so that we could just throw out a bunch of nonsense. Not so that we could slander and curse and make fun of people and all this. No, He gave us a mouth and the ability to speak and to use it so that we could glorify Him with that. You know, I think it would be awesome if He just had one of those, like, mute buttons or something like that. And every time I was talking and it wasn't glorifying Him, He could just mute. But you know what He has given us? It's coming to me right now. He's given us one of those, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, the Holy Spirit's going to do that. Kind of that dump button that they have on the radio, you know, where they can just burp. The Holy Spirit can give us that insight and self-control. It's one of the gifts of the Spirit to use our mouths just to glorify God, not for all the other nonsense. Look, when we speak, we need to speak things that will glorify God. Things that will encourage others, not tear them down. We need to use our breath to worship Him. Just as we were doing this morning, we need to open up our mouths and we need to worship Him. Everyone in here has breath. We need to use that breath to praise His name. We need to use the breath, the mouths, the ability to speak that we have to share the gospel. How many of you know that glorifies God when we tell others about Jesus? When we tell others that they have a Redeemer, a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. And He spilled His blood for them. When we share the gospel with others, we are glorifying God with our mouths. How will they know unless we tell them? How will they know unless we open up our mouths and speak out the name of Jesus and the good news of Him? God has given us breath. He's given us a mouth in order to glorify Him. We need to lift up the name of Jesus with our mouths. At church, obviously. Sing it out loud and proud. We need to use our mouths. We need to glorify the Lord with our mouths at home. And what we say to our family members, our brothers, our sisters, our mom, our dad, kids. We need to glorify God's parents with how we speak to our children. I'm preaching to myself. We need to do that. We need to use our mouths to glorify God in the workplace, at school, in the marketplace, in the public square. The church needs to start using its mouth, using its breath to glorify God. And not be so silent. So, number one, glorify God with your mouth. I encourage you, take notes, write these four ways that you can glorify God down. And I want you to pray through these this week, maybe even this month. Let the Lord, let the Holy Spirit give you ideas and strategies and conviction. Let Him step on your toes a little bit and then lift you up and launch you into just glorifying Him in all these areas of your life. One, glorify God with your mouth. Number two, glorify God with your actions. We studied this a couple months ago from 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. You're bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all for God's glory. Whatever you do, do it all for God's glory. Use your body, the actions of your physical body to glorify God. Are you using your body in a way that's not glorifying God? Are you using it for sin? If you are, stop it. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have the powerful grace of Jesus Christ. We studied it in chapter 10, verse 13, that you have all you need to say no to temptation. He's given you that off-ramp. You have what you need to tackle that temptation. You don't have to use your body. You're not a slave to sin anymore. You're a slave to righteousness, as it says in Romans 6. You don't have to use your body for sin anymore, but you can use your body in a way that glorifies God. The actions that you take can be actions now that bring glory to God. That's pretty incredible. That's because of the grace of Jesus Christ that's in us. That's because of Him living in us. Number three, you can glorify God with your time. So one, glorify God this year with your mouth. Number two, with your action. Number three, glorify God with your time. Again, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you do, do all for God's glory. What's on your calendar? I want to encourage you to do it this week. It's going to be bold. Might mess up your life a little bit. That's probably a good thing. We all need our lives messed up a little bit by God. Not by the world, not by all the trappings of the world, but we need our lives messed up a little bit by God. Because when He'll mess it up, then He'll put it back in order. He'll make it right. What's on your calendar? How are you spending your time? What are you doing? Whatever you do, right? Do it all for the glory of God. What are you doing with your time? Go to your calendar. Look at the hours that you're spending each week. How are you spending those hours? What are you doing? In Acts 2, we find some insight here about how the early church was spending their time. When you go to Acts 2, 42, I'm just going to read verse 42 and verse 46. In Acts 2, 42, it said that the early church, they devoted themselves. What does it mean to devote yourself to something? You spend a lot of time. If you're devoted to something, you spend a lot of time on it, right? It's kind of on your mind a lot, and it's on your calendar. It's what you're doing. If you're devoted to golf, you spend a lot of time on the golf course, hitting that little white ball around, don't you? Well, the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the Word of God. And to the fellowship, to getting together as the church with one another, to spending time with one another. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, which we're about to do after this service, yummy. And what else? To prayer. These are the things that were filling the calendar of the early Christians, of the early church. And then in verse 46 it says, and day by day, doesn't say and week by week or month by month or year by year. It says, and day by day, again it was important to them, it was on their calendars, they attended the temple together. They gathered together for the purpose of worship. The breaking bread in their homes, again, fellowshipping with one another. And they received their food with glad and generous hearts. It's interesting that the word glad is in there. What did they do? They were enjoying themselves as they were giving themselves to these things, as they were filling their calendar with things that were glorifying God, that were lifting Him up and that were building them up in Him. Glorifying God and enjoying Him. In the Gospel of Luke 2, verse 49, Jesus shows how He lived out this principle of glorifying God with His time. You know, everyone was looking for Jesus. Where is He? Where is He? Where is Jesus? Man, we got to find Jesus. And He replies to him. He says, hey, look, didn't you know that I would be about my Father's business? Didn't you know that my time would be spent glorifying God? That if you were looking for me, you know where to find me. In a place where I would be glorifying my Heavenly Father. He spent His time doing the things that would glorify God. I'm preaching again to myself a whole lot. Like I said, my toes have been stepped on numerous times this week. And I thank God for that. Because He's not finished with me yet. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. And I had this thought. You know, most of us in this room, not all of us, but most of us in this room watch television from time to time, sometimes from time to time to time to time to time. Spend a lot of time in front of the television. Is that time that's glorifying to God? And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, you know what? It's been very few times when I've gotten up from watching television, I've walked away, and I've thought, man, that was awesome. I just glorified the Lord. Very few times have I walked away from time in front of the television thinking to myself, wow, I just glorified God. That was good time with the Lord. You know, there are a lot of other things I do in life, though, when that is the common feeling and response. I walk away from time in His Word. I walk away from time in prayer. I walk away from time serving somebody else, helping somebody, giving myself to somebody else, encouraging someone, giving somebody a hug or just an encouraging word, sending out an encouraging email, whatever it might be, writing a sermon. There are so many other things I do in life where I walk away going, yeah, I just glorified God in that. The way I talked to a coworker, the way I encouraged a coworker, the way I prayed, where'd Jennifer go? The way I prayed for that stranger who was selling me the bike, cared for them. Walk away from those things, man, I just got to glorify God in that. So glorify God with your time. I really encourage you to look at your calendars. Glorify Him with your time. Number four, glorify God with your resources. Glorify God with your resources. Why do we work? I mean, you know, the simple answer is to make money, right? We work to make money. And that's not a bad thing. I'm just telling you right now, it's not a bad thing. It's actually a gift from the Lord, and He's called us to work. He doesn't want us to be a bunch of lazy sloths that don't do anything and just sit around getting handouts. That's not why we were created. It really isn't. We were created to work. And we were created to take a Sabbath also and enjoy that time of rest too. But we were created to work. And one of the byproducts of work is that we make some money. And that's a good thing. God uses that to help provide for our needs. He gives us that in order to help provide for us, to give us our daily bread, as He encourages us to ask for our daily bread. So we make money, and we make money so that we can spend it. But what are we spending it on? When we're blessed with these resources that God gives us, money and other resources, how are we looking at those resources? Are we looking at those like, this is mine, and I get to just spend this any way I want to and use them any way I want to? This is so awesome. I'm just going to go out and try to get happy with all this money and all these resources, and wow, thank you, God. It's like this, thank you, God. You take it, and then you just go your own way and do your own thing with it. I want to encourage us that if we're called to glorify God and enjoy Him forever in every area of our lives, that includes our resources. So the resources that God has blessed you with and made you a steward over, you are to steward those resources in a way that's going to glorify God. So you're to take those things that He's given you. You can read all about the parables of the talents. Jesus taught us this, okay? We take the resources, the treasures that God's given us, and we turn those around and we invest them in glorifying God. That's why we've been given resources, is to glorify God. And God is glorified when we have a meal to eat and a roof over our heads and His children are taken care of. He tells us that in Scripture, that He is a Father who gives His children good gifts, and He cares for us. And He wants us to have our daily bread. And to be cared for, yes, He does. But we can take it in crazy directions. In fact, you know, I thought about this, because sometimes you can go like, well, everything we get, we just got to give it all away. Well, yeah, as long as we're giving it all away for the glory of God. But I'm thinking like, if a guy needs a brand new diesel truck because God has put him in a position, the kind of work that he does where God has put him in the workplace, he needs that kind of truck in order to accomplish the job that God's blessed him with, in order to glorify God in that, then he needs a new diesel truck and he needs to buy it. David wants a new diesel truck. He's like, praise God. Yeah, I hope you hear where I'm coming from and what we're saying here, because the purpose is this, and the point is this, is that we want to glorify God with everything He's given us, with our breath that He's given us, with the bodies that he's given us, with the time that he's given us on this earth, and with the resources that he's given us. It can get all twisty and out of order with money. We know what God's word says in 1 Timothy 6:10, that money is the root of all kinds of evil, that it can get all twisty and weird and messed up so fast. I've been there, okay? Back in the day, I've been there. It was horrible. I was all about getting as much money as I can to get as safe and secure as I could get with money and to use it to get the next bigger and better thing. And I was the furthest thing from happy and content and full of peace. I was so far from that. Because I was mismanaging and misusing and misunderstanding the whole purpose of why I was living, which is to glorify God with everything that I am and everything that he's blessed me with. As I conclude, I have the band come on up here. You know, many of us find purpose and happiness in different places. Many people do, in relationships, in marriage. A lot of people, a lot of parents find purpose and happiness in their children. People find purpose and happiness in friends, in a new home, in a better job. It's easy to get caught up in finding our purpose and chasing after that in other places. Parents, even in our children. If your whole life is about your kids, what's going to happen when they grow up and leave home? If everything's wrapped up in that. You got to love them. You got to care for them. You got to steward them. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But God's got to be number one. Your life is about glorifying God and enjoying him. And every other good thing comes out of that. And it comes out in the right order, in the right measure, and in a way that glorifies God. You know, as children of the Lord, as people who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ, we can actually live this way now. Where outside of Christ, we have no way to glorify God or enjoy him. But in Christ Jesus now, you've been given the gift to live out your purpose this year and every year of your life. To live out your purpose of glorifying God and enjoying him. So as we launch into this new year, I just want to encourage you to be aware of this. Every morning as you wake up, and in whatever you do, whatever time God has given you this year, I want us to be people who are aware that our purpose is to glorify God in all things and at all times, and to enjoy him. Next week, we're going to have the Evident Life Church tour. Matt mentioned that earlier. And it's a time every year where we look at who God has specifically called Evident Life Church to be in his greater body of Christ. And it's a time for us to examine and celebrate the vision and the mission that he's given us as a body, as a church family. I want to encourage everyone to be here next week because I'm already seeing that God wants to continue this message through our Evident Life Church tour. And I believe that he's got a very important word for everyone in this room about not just our corporate vision and mission and purpose, but our individual vision and mission and purpose. About why we're created and about how we can glorify God in all things. Amen. Let me ask you to stand up. I want us to respond to this message this morning. We're going to sing a song that's going to let us declare from our inner man that, hey, we're on board, God. We're on board with why we were created. We're going to have the opportunity right now, and I want to encourage us to glorify God with our mouths right now and with our actions, with our hands and our actions, and to lift up our voices and to come into agreement with God's plans and purpose for our lives, and let's glorify him. Amen.